There's nothing like peeing at the pier, Ethel quipped from inside her stall as a very nervous Mary Martin checked her makeup in the mirror and waited for Merman to finish her business. The Pier Hotel stood majestically on Fifth Avenue, overlooking the east side of Central Park at 61st Street. Ethel chose it because of its proximity to where they were and because she knew exactly where the ladies' room was. Ethel also knew the staff, which had been helpful in the good old bad old days of no unescorted ladies allowed. Now, of course, with America officially part of the European War, and so many American boys off fighting, no bar or restaurant could afford to enforce that antiquated rule. Peeing at the Pierre. I tried to sell that title to Cole Porter for a lyric, but even he thought it was too shocking to sing. When I lived here with Bill, my ex-husband, when we had the apartment here, sometimes I couldn't make it to the 43rd floor fast enough. And I would settle in with my Collier's magazine right here in this very stall. Mary heard the flush and knew that it was time. She would have to tell her story. When Ethel emerged from the stall, Mary blurted out, I can't live with this lie one more second. Ixnay on the idlay, Ethel whispered, looking under the stalls. You never know where Winchell has spies. After Ethel tipped the matron who turned on the tap and handed her a towel, she and Mary hightailed it out of the ladies' room and entered the elegantly appointed rotunda, where little tables beautifully covered by crisp white tablecloths daintily sat waiting for them. Mary took note that each table had a vase of fresh flowers. Richard believed in fresh flowers in every home. After they were seated by the maitre d', the waiter came to Ethel and Mary's table, and Ethel cleared her throat to stop Mary from spilling any beans that the waiter might catch and dish up to the nearest gossip columnist. May I take your order? Two scotches on the rocks. And what do you have, Mary? Ethel, you're pregnant. You're right. Add a little soda on the side. I'll just have lemon coke. The waiter took the order and left the ladies to themselves. Ethel looked around the empty bar at the Pierre, making sure no one was listening in, and then smiled at Mary. Looks like the coast is clear. So?
So?
You can't keep doing this deer in the headlights bit, Mary. You're too slick for this gig.
Ethel, I didn't know where else to go or who else would even understand it. It was Michael who said you would have the answers for me. I did all this wrong once already. I just can't do it again.
What are you talking about?
Marriage and a child and a career. I feel like it's all deja vu. Is that the right word?
I think so, but I was never good at Spanish.
The waiter served the drinks and Mary helped herself to one of Ethel's scotches, knocking it back like a pro. Ethel watched in astonishment as Mary daintily wiped her mouth on the silk serviette and went on. Oh, Ethel, you have so many friends on Broadway. Ethel looked at Mary seriously and replied,
Honey, I have lots of fair-weather friends and a few real ones, let me tell you. The real ones I know from Astoria will always outlast the ones on Broadway. Like my pal, Josie Traeger.
I have a real pal, too, back in Weatherford. Bessie Mae Ellis Sue Yeager.
That's a mouthful.
Mary giggled. I know. Oh, Ethel, I just thought of something. Our two best friends rhyme. Traeger and Yeager. Can you imagine? It's a sign.
Yeah, Ethel agreed, but of what?
I haven't the foggiest. The two ladies laughed, and Mary knew that she could probably trust Ethel.